Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. Ready traffic, please call KQ. Okie dokie, I guess the right answer. Well, welcome, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, Technical Net. This net is run weekly at 5 megahertz, the meter repeater of the Alpine, at Alpine, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. It's run on behalf of both clubs. And hope you'll join us this evening for a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural phenomena that support our hobby and show, and of course, our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we've done again, and things, of course, we never want to do again. In any case, we also would welcome people with for sale, swap, or wanted items, so keep that in mind as well. Alrighty, with no further ado, I do need a station to log this evening. Is there a station possibly who could log? Please call K2BAR.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, I can log for you.
Thank you, Randy. Much obliged. 9:30, I may have to bail. I'm not sure. It depends on how... Alrighty, having a little fun with Mesh, and I'll talk about that too. So welcome. Thank you, Randy. Alrighty, stations whose call signs begin with Whiskey, please call K2BAR. Your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
To UMP and just listening this evening.
Okay, I got two stations, W2JEK, Don, a comment. Good evening, Don, WA to United States. Papa. Jim, was there another station with a whiskey call?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, no traffic. VUA 2 QBC, no traffic.
Okay, Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, no traffic, good evening. And WA 2 Quebec, Bravo Charlie. Bruce, good evening. Well, were there any other whiskeys?
WI2W, with a comment.
Good evening, Steve, WI2W. Welcome aboard. I got your comment. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra with a comment.
Okay, we have two stations. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra with a comment. And who is the station who just doubled with him?
W2APP, none of the above.
Good evening, Paul, W2AlphaPapaPa. Good evening. Alrighty. Liked your email the other day? My powder dry, as they said. So, and thank you for that email. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, just listening.
Whiskey Echo 2 Sierra. Charlie, good evening. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. November stations. Local, that is.
This is N2OEL. One question.
Okay, N2OEL, well, with the question, who is the station at Double Noel?
NY9A, good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, George, NY9A, New York, Alpha. Welcome aboard. Your intentions, George?
Well, I'd like somebody to explain to me when we're going to have propagation again, or is it permanently gone, but I'll talk about HF, of course. But other than that, I'm just...
Okay, we'll put you down for a question. That's fine. You can do that, George. That's excellent. You sound like you got the nap that I didn't get. And I sound like the nap I didn't get. All right. Any other Novembers? Alpha stations. Any Alpha stations?
AC2GI, Rich, one question.
Warren, Paul Washington.
Okay, AC2GI, Rich. Good evening to you. And who is the station of Fort Washington?
Alpha Charlie 2 Kilo Yankee. Kilo Yankee Warren, Fort Washington.
Alpha Charlie 2 Kentucky or Kilo Yankee. Very good, Warren. What are your intentions, sir?
I had a quick question.
Okay, we'll note your question. Thank you very much. Boy, you know, make it up for the last 2 weeks. Woohoo! Although it's been a long net with very few questions. It was pretty amazing. Alrighty, any other alphas?
AA2WP, Willie P, Riverbell, just listening.
Okay, Willie P, AA2 Whiskey Papa. Any welcome aboard other alphas. Okie dokie, all kilos, come on down.
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Delta Juliet, Walt, just listening.
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Walter, I got you. Any other kilos?
K2, EIR, one question.
Wow, K2, EIR, Howie. K2, Echo, India, Romeo.
Question, we'll get you.
Any other kilos?
Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey, just listening tonight, none of the above. Amy Gordon.
KA2 TRW, Kilo Alpha 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Kai, good evening. Welcome aboard. Who is the station to double with Kai?
Kilo Delta 2, India Romeo Yankee, Mike at a Dobbs Ferry, just listening.
KD2 IRY, good evening, Mike. Good to hear you. Any other kilos?
Kilo 2, Juliet Victor Sierra, mobile, and I'll just be listening.
Kilo 2, Juliet Victor Sierra, name please.
Sorry about that, it's Joe Juliet Oscar Echo.
I thought so. Okay, very good, Joe. Welcome aboard. Nice to hear you. Alrighty, any other kilos? Okay, we also have access via the K2 Foxtrot Juliet Dash Lima Echo Link, member of Chestnut Ridge, and access through that. Please call now. Hey, into OEL, I'd like you to do me a favor before we get into the nitty gritty. Could you take a quick shot at trying to access the Echo Link, please? You remember me? You don't have to go crazy, but if you would just be able to let me know whether you were able to connect or not.
Gordon, he did that earlier and it worked with VAPTA 9.
Okay, received. All right, very good. I got it busy when I tried to access it. All righty, very good. Well, then let's, no further ado, W2JEK Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
All right, K2BAR and then that W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Barrow will be running its next test session tomorrow night. 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School, Bishop of Washington. Instructions to get there are in the ARA.org, E-A-R-A.org, having our Hamfest. Speaking of Hamfest, October 10th will be the, in the morning, we'll be having a test on one in the night. At the memory, you need to test the identification, like a driver's license or something with a phone. License and a copy of the license. Calculator, that's fine. The memory has iPod, cell phones, calculators. Back to JK.
Alrighty, very good. Wonder if anybody have any questions about the upcoming session or like. Okay, Don, anything else you want to add?
This W2JK, nothing else. Back to that, thank you.
I'm going to fail to connect to K2FJ-L. I'm showing busy other stations, but not righty. Randy, who's next in our cavalcade of questions and comments? I guess WITW maybe. Let's let him go. I guess he's got a club announcement. Let's get that one done. WITW, Steve, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WITW. Holy
smokes,
couple things. First off, Marco asked me to remind everybody on the air that Marco and Kai are going to be doing R and D Star at the Fair Alarm Radio Barra Fox Hunt coming up on September 27th. High school, always a great time, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, got lost right by the fox and didn't notice. Walter and Chris won the fox hunt, time out, and Walter's high club cap. And HT when they got records off for pizza afterwards. Next up is the Barra October meeting on October 6th. We have a really interesting presentation, 3D printing, that I think it's an excellent presentation. Format around and do the business meeting. Laptop loaded up with FreeCAD, which is a package after the presentation. And that's why we're going to... That's back to net, K2BAR, WITW.
KWITW, K2BAR, very good. Anybody have any questions or comments regarding Steve's announcements?
Date is that meeting? Is that it? I wasn't sure of that.
Well, the meeting tomorrow night is for I and Mark. The November 27th box hunt. Our meeting is...
Okay. All right. I'm going to miss tomorrow night's Fairlawn meeting because of the church carnival. Bergenfield. I pass along my regrets. That should be, I want to attend that talk, but oh well. And, Kai, did you want to add anything? Actually, before I do that, Steve, do you have anything more before I go to Kai?
No, thanks for the budget.
Okay, very good, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Kai, KA2TRW, K2BAR. K2BAR, Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. I really have nothing to add, other than to let folks know out there that if they programmed the DMR radio successfully before, then most of the material in the presentation are most likely things that you have already known. But if you not know what DMR means or just know what the acronym means and not much else, then I believe that would be a very fitting presentation. So that you won't be on back to net. KBW. Okay, very good. Very good. And I keep messing up your call. KB2, Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo would be. All right, very good. Anybody have any quick questions for Kai regarding that presentation? All right, Mr. Kai, any other words you want to add?
Yeah, India Juliet, just a late second.
All right, India Juliet, your call and name and your attention, please.
Yeah, the name here is Sergey. The call sign is KD2AIJ. Just a late second.
Okay, Sergey, no problem. KD2 Juliet, India Juliet. Very good. I'm just taking care. I gotta take care of one thing. Hold one second.
N2AIR disconnected.
All right, no problem. All right. Let's see. All right, so Sergey, welcome aboard. Kai, any more?
No additional comments. Welcome everyone back tonight.
Okie doke. I'm going to take one more, and then I'm going to have to hand off this to Randy, if it's okay with Randy. Let's see. George, I'm going to take yours real quick. 40 meters in the morning is not terrible. At mid-morning, you know, say between 8 and about noon, not so bad. And again in the evening, I'm listening on 40, and it's, you know, every evening there's some nice propagation. You get some Europeans, you get some, Mid-America type Southerners, etc. I may hear some West Coast guys if you'll stay way late in the evening. 40 is not so bad, so that's my thought. NY9A, your comment, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. That gives me hope. I haven't heard too much lately, but that's probably because I've been listening at the wrong time. But it seems like 10 and 15 and all those others are a happy hunting ground. And I remembered having a very thick, fat log before the band literally dropped dead. So I will have to content myself with 40. I'm back. W2TT10, the group, NY9A.
Alrighty, very good. I'm sorry that the bands aren't better, but you know, I'm listening right now in my mobile with my 40 meter weapon.
Connected W2A.
Look, I'm sorry, this guy's all. I'm sorry, accidentally. Got 7160, 7150, anywhere in between, above. You know, you don't want to go above 7200 at night because there are some stations in there in between the broadcasters. I'm just listening on 205. It's not bad. You know, I just did hear some, but you know, the 178 gang is in there. There's guys in there on 40. I mean, it's not super busy, but there's propagation. So, you know, take heart. Anybody else have any comments about propagation? I mean, the higher bands are going to be the 40. It is, after all, not a maxima. It is, after all, you know, we're bald, so that's not June, for gosh sakes. Any thoughts?
said EIR?
That is correct. Okay, I took a little listen just before or during the beginning of the net, and 40 was kind of suppressed. Interestingly enough, I could not get CHU 7850, but I could get WWV at 10 megahertz S9. I just went on and looked at the propagation box that you see on QRZ.com or WECA.org, and it says for 40 meters right now fair, and virtually, and for 30 and 20 meters, 30 meters beam, 10 megahertz, good, and everything else was poor. So what I'm observing corresponds with that propagation thing. It says the geomagnetic conditions are unsettled. So, but many nights I've heard 40 good. I've told George that. My 2 cents, K2EIR.
Well, there's quite a bit of stuff. I'm noticing on 7160, the guys are S9 and 20 over, so my mobile. All right. I'm going to have to bail at this time. Randy, would you mind taking the reins?
I can do that.
You're a dear man. I would listen on the Echo Link, but apparently it's no longer... All righty. Yes, my dues need to be refunded. They need to be fixed. All righty. 73 boys and girls, and I apologize. Duty calls. W2S. AR.
Thank you, Gordon, and hello to everyone on the net. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, acting as net control, K2BAR. A couple of quick comments. First off, I guess not directly regarding propagation, but certainly an opportunity to make some contacts for those of you that may not know already. This weekend, September 19th and September 20th, is the annual New Jersey QSO party sponsored by the Burlington County Radio Club. And if you just Google for that, you can go find the time and the rules. But it may be an opportunity for you to make some HF contacts. Presumably there will be thousands, well, maybe dozens of people looking for contacts with that elusive Bergen County, New Jersey HF contact that they've been pining for many years. So that'd be one opportunity. And then I'd like to briefly mention that this past week I was in sunny, warm, and dry Los Angeles for the ARRL Southwest Division Convention, AMCON. A member of the Arden Mesh Network Development Team, I got to meet my other colleagues from Southern California. A couple of interesting things happened. One was a five-hour organizational meeting that Andre K6AH set up for the Arden team to meet with representatives from the seven Southern California counties, which would be Ventura, Los Angeles, San Bernardino, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, and Imperial, as well as a representative from Pima County, Arizona, around Tucson. And we all got together and did a lot of planning for establishing mesh network infrastructure in that area of the country. That was very interesting and successful. And then at the banquet Saturday evening, ARRL division director presented the Arden team with the 2014 Microwave Development Award, and we were happy to receive it. Grateful for the public acknowledgement of the work we've been doing and continue to do in developing mesh networks on amateur frequencies. So those are my announcements for tonight. Any comments on either?
Well done. Bravo.
Thank you, sir. Anything else?
2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Randy, I hope this in putting you on the spot. I belong to a couple of different radio clubs, but I haven't ventured as far as New Jersey yet, and I prefer not to for that. I do go to the Chestnut Ridge luncheons. So my question is, would it be possible to get a demo? I don't know if presentation. I belong to the Westchester Emergency Communications, also known as WECA. It has the 147.06 repeater. I belong to the Crystal Radio Club in Pomona, the other side of the river for me, your side of the river. But both of these clubs, I think, be interested in presentation and possible for me to go. I really would love to see really nice demo and presentation, and I think that helps this stuff catch on. You know, sometimes it's slow, but people need a framework of seeing it in action before they get warmed up. Just an attempt at getting you here. K2EIR.
Yes. Well, the answer is simply yes. I'd be happy to do that. I don't mind traveling across the rickety Tappan Zee Bridge. Looks like they're finally going to replace it, which is encouraging. But I'd be happy to do that multiple times if necessary. Clearly, I have a strong vested interest in seeing if we can build some infrastructure here in the adjacent New York and New Jersey counties to provide amateur radio-based emergency mesh networking. So, yeah, I'd welcome the opportunity. You know, we can talk offline, and you can contact me via my call sign at arrl.net if you'd like to email me, and we can communicate that way, or send me a phone number, and I'll send you mine, and we can chat. Back to you, Howie.
Okay, I'll try to follow up with that. I can remember the email address. Thank you. K2EIR.
Thank you. And any other comments before we proceed? Okay, thank you. Again, nothing heard. And we'll go down the list. The next lovely contestant is Noel, who had a question. Over to you, N2OEL.
K2BI, this is N2OEL. I intend to have my mobile radio car in carrying case, and I was wondering if it would make more sense just bring a short cable out with a connector connected to the cables in the car. Is there a quick connect way to do something like this? Is one part of the question. The other part is, does it make sense if you have, for instance, a metal case to actually mount a whole bulkhead connectors and just have the female sticking out there, which of course there's always the possibility of hitting the thing. So I'm wondering what other people have done when they didn't want to leave the radio and the tuner sitting inside the vehicle. They wanted to, if you got two vehicles or if you don't want to leave it in, like what happened to Richard K2ZB, where they smashed the security lights and stole the radio and stuff. And so if you want to remove it every night, what is the easy way to do it? Back to that, N2OEL.
Well, that's a great question, Noel. Thank you. Yeah, I suppose there's a number of answers there, and you've already hit on you know, one of the important parameters, not banging on the connectors as you're moving it in and out of vehicles. Let me ask Steve, WI2W, if he has some thoughts on that. I know he's got a pretty nifty little portable rig that he uses. Steve, over to you.
K2BAR, WI2W. I have a Kenwood TS-4A, folks that don't know, has a control head. The control head does not have a way to attach Kenwood cells, a bracket that you can, I have. And that bracket has a nice carrying handle on it. I use a battery pack, our battery pack. I can pick the radio and the battery pack up. Far, I use a portable, my solution. I do have a briefcase that I travel through.
Thank you, Steve. That's helpful. Does anybody else have any experience with packing a portable radio and being able to move it from car to car?
HF radio, but I had it used to handy talking. I got so that I would go out and connect it to the outside antenna, get into the cigarette lighter kind of a thing. Eventually, I've worn out a couple BNC connectors on the radio. That's one thought. I think the SO239 is a lot more rugged. I have at the time a 5/8 wave mag mount on top of a station wagon. Take that out of the top of the roof and stick it inside the car so it wouldn't get stolen. Say my daughter was going to drive the car into the garage. And I stopped her before she did. At that point, to put a quick disconnect for your antenna, too. That's another.
Excellent thoughts. Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it. Noel, any comments on the advice you've heard so far?
Well, one of the things I did for years, like Don, was you would have radio, 2 meter radio. And at the time, Radio Shack made a BNC connector that had no threads, just slipped it on. And I made a short connection so I wouldn't be slipping it on and off the radio and wear out those threads. And I would use it, you know, months, a year before it got really loose. And I wore out the other female connector, the SO239. Then, of course, I would just unscrew the little short barrel connector, throw it away, and put on another one and start over again. But, so the question that I was asking is, if you have a metal case, then bring the connection to the outside of the metal case through the metal, or should I have everything inside and have just short wires with SO239 on the end to just connect in? And that's part of the question. The other part is there a commercial connection for the antenna? For the power, I got the power pole. I have a pair of power poles going to the battery. Positive lead has 25 amp fuses. Negative lead has 40 amp fuses on each of them. But by the way, you know, they were talking about, some people are still arguing in the various reports that you do or you don't need to fuse negative lead. I have a Saturn. Put my engine back in, and they forgot to hook up the negative ground connection of the battery to the starter. And for a while, it was starting with the 10-gauge wire that went to the accessory. And sometimes it started, sometimes it didn't. I finally took it to Rocky, him, and he diagnosed the problem and connected the cable back up correctly. But if I had hooked up a radio that had an antenna with a ground connection like I do on the back of my vehicle, I have a pair of 1-inch copper straps go up to the radio antenna, the GIF radio, I would have instantly put the full starting current through the radio, which would have, of course, blown the 40 amp fuses. So in my case, it was necessary. So back to net. This is N2OEL.
Thank you, Noel. My quick thoughts on the idea of a bulkhead connector on the outside of a briefcase or a metal box or a Pelican case, perhaps, that you might be moving in and out of the vehicle and various places. I don't think I would do something like that, largely because it sticks out and it ends up being something that will inevitably catch on your clothing or the door handle or your upholstery or the seat belt, something like that. And it's probably just the kind of nuisance that you just really don't need. I would think that maybe the only way that might be feasible is somehow you had around the outside of it a bigger and bulkier sort of curved piece of plastic that you might 3D print or something like that, so it had a curved surface to kind of like bounce off of things. But even with that, you got this protrusion that's sticking out, and it's kind of a nuisance. And I think your first idea of the just having a jumper cable in the case with the radio and the power pole connectors is probably your best bet, but that's just my opinion. Anybody else on the net with any thoughts or advice for Noel?
Thomas?
Didn't catch the call. Say again.
W2APP, comment?
Go ahead, Paul.
My thoughts just would be that, you know, like if you're going to use a case, that you're going to have the case plug the coax and the power poles into. I would actually stick an NMO on it and then just run some, a short length of something like Andrew's Heliax through the car to your antenna. At that point, then you're not really going to be worrying about it getting knocked about. It should be rugged enough to, you know, sort of float about in your well or whatever. With that, back to net. W2APP, back to KQBR.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, that's another good idea. That'd be worth a try as well. Any other thoughts on Noel's need for a portable radio?
WJEK.
Go ahead, Don. Back to you.
I'm assuming you have some means of keeping this radio ventilated in case it, you have to in it that the fan have some source of air and just for the hot air to escape and the case over.
I have two fans.
There you go. Yeah, that's you've already thought of that. That's an excellent idea. And thanks for bringing that up, Don. Yeah, forget about the heat buildup on these things. Anybody else with any thought for Noel's need to move a radio around from vehicle to vehicle?
A2EIR.
Ed Howie.
Okay, I have two thoughts. Number one, it might help if you mount the rig, depending what rig it is, on a kitchen cutting board. Write down this call sign and you can see a photo and there's some links. This is a page out of the HFPAC activities. Here's the call, KD7S, that's kilowatt delta 7 Sierra, KD7S. Look that up on QRZ, he has a picture or two, and or three or four, and some links. Now, of course, he's got a small rig, he's got the FT817, which brings me to suggestion number two, or just my description of what I do. I have an FT857D. It weighs somewhere between 4 and 6 pounds. It's as small as most 2-meter rigs, and so it's pretty small, but it is, does do HF. And I have a go bag for it that's cushioned. I bring it to the car. The control head does separate, and I made, I bought a, partly made a suction cup mount, so I can put it on the windshield, the control head on the windshield, and I can leave the rig in back seat or on front seat or whatever on the floor and operate. I always have a trunk lid mount. Let me let this reset. Trunk lid mount for a ham stick on the trunk. The coax goes through the seats. There's a lift, the seats can fold down, so I've threaded it, the coax through. And I store it, you know, in the back seat. There's an armrest that folds up into the seat, so I store the coax there. I have power leads from the battery on Anderson's that go to the trunk, you know, through the well on the side of the car, you know. So there are connectors back there, so if I loosen the back seat to fold it down, I can access that. I actually usually go with a boost power supply, so plug in the back there, and I recently added an auxiliary battery and the ISO power thing. The battery can charge but not be discharged, but you know, those are sort of accessory to the rig. On my rig, once again, I made the suggestion before, and again, let me let reset. On the FT857D, I have right-angle connectors so that the actual coax connector is not worn in terms of the threads and the center pin. And I would suggest to Noel's operation that he might want to add a pigtail that flex and doesn't ruin anything, particularly if he puts it in a metal case. If you use the kitchen cutting board, what people do is they actually put it in a backpack, a cloth or nylon canvas backpack. Again, that depends on the size of the rig. I also put a sort of a jumper lead with a double RJ45 for the microphone. So again, I try to relieve all the places that there could be strain so that I don't have to, you know, take apart the rig, from where to replace a connector. Just like Noel does with that slip-on BNC, you want something replaceable because of wear. So I don't know if those ideas help any, but it's a little bit more fuel for the brainstorms. K2EIR.
Thank you very much, Howie. That's terrific. Appreciate that. And I'm really glad you brought up the HF PAC group. I believe they're on Yahoo groups, and I subscribe to their mailing list information as well. They've got if you don't know about it, go look it up. HF PAC on Yahoo groups. They got a tremendous amount of ideas and experience with moving radios around various places, often under human power, but not limited to that. And that brings up the second idea. Yeah, those high density polyethylene cutting boards that you can get almost anywhere are real cheap and real handy as mounting surfaces. And of course, they come in a variety of sizes and thicknesses, so you should be able to find something that would work for your particular circumstances. So let's see. Back to Noel. Any final comments before we move on to the next question?
Thank you, Howard. Yes. Well, I looked at the DHF pack that I went just found on QRZ. It's very nice, but I, as you know, I use a walker to get back and forth from the car. So what I was going to use, protect the radio, it's an 857D ASU and a YT100 tuner. It's an ammo box, a really nice, heavy ammo box from Surplus Store, big enough to fit the fan and that, and mic and some other stuff too, actually, with a strap. Strap goes over my shoulder, and if I'm using the canes or the walker, I can keep it from banging around too much. Even if I do bang it a little bit, it's a heavy steel box, so there's not much you can do to it unless I run over it or drop it from a great height. The head is detaches, which is nice, and I could actually put the head someplace else closer to me if I wanted to, or leave it set up in the box. So anyways, we were talking, believe it or not, I found a UHF male to UHF female quick connect that's very similar to that old Radio Shack one that actually wasn't, it was actually soldered it on. This one, you just take a PL259, screw it into the SO239 part, and bingo, you now have a PL259 with no threads. And it's, you know, compression fit. So I think I found half of my answer already. I thank the group. I'm returning to net. This is N2OYO.
Hey, that's really great news, Noel. Thank you very much. And if you get a minute or two in the next day, if you wouldn't mind posting your find or a link to your find out on the ComTech group site, I think we'd all appreciate it, because it sounds like a pretty interesting and somewhat obscure kind of part that maybe more of us could use in the circumstances you described. I know I'd appreciate finding out where to get one or two of those as well, so thank you in advance. Appreciate it. Let's go down next on the list. We have Rich AC2GI, who We had a question. Rich, over to you.
K2BAR, AC2GI, good evening. I successfully, over this past weekend, got routers up on mesh. A bit of a challenge. One was an version that guys had done for me, old firmware, and nobody could remember the password. But we got that one up and updated, and a second one that got that updated. I even got the first one to work as a gateway. My question is, how can I see the IP address that it has taken from my home network, and how can I make that a fixed address? Back to that, AC2GI.
Okay, Rich. Well, welcome to the wonderful world of mesh networking, and I'm glad to hear that you're experimenting. Two questions. Your first is, how do you see what address the mesh node got from your home router, and you know, so it's communicating on your home network? The answer to that is pretty simple. On the status page, you'll see the WAN connection, and you can confirm that it's talking to your home router, and it'll usually show an address something similar to 192.168.1.1. And then on the administrative pages, on the where you do the setup, you'll find the address that it received from the home router on the WAN thing. I don't have, I'm just trying to bounce over on one of the computers to look at one of my local mesh nets. I don't have the thing plugged in at the moment, but I can confirm it. But it's on the, it's on one or the other of those status pages, and you can get it right there. Regarding your second question, can you make the connection to your home network a static address? And I believe the answer at the moment is no, but it might be achievable with some difficulty. You'd have to go into the actual configuration of the node, and of course the Linksys node's running a version of Linux, and go in and change it. So I believe it's set up to just automatically get a DHCP address from whatever is serving the addresses on the WAN site. Back to you, Rich.
All right, I can understand that part. I'm looking in my node now at the status screen of the, there's nothing that would represent my home 192.168 router. That's just on the standard main screen of the mesh. Should I be in the OLSR status page for that?
Take a look at the administrative page, the setup.
No, it's not there either. All of the network addresses start with 10. I'm still perplexed a bit.
Hey, well, while we're talking, I'm trying to get one of the computers here next to me set up to the mesh network. I don't have them always connected, but as I do that, if you don't mind, we'll continue on, unless you had another question, and a little bit later in the network, I'll get back to you when I can get the proper screen up. Would that be okay?
That's fine. Thank you very much. AC2GI, back to net.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Rich. And why don't we move on to the next question on our list. It's Warren, who had a question. AC2 Kilo Yankee, over to you.
Okay, thank you, and good evening to all on the net. I recently purchased from Connect Systems a model CS7, and I set it up, followed the instructions. It's absolutely impossible to program a month, and this new DMR radio just
it's on my desk in my shack. I connected up the laptop. I downloaded the software from Kinect Systems. Let me let it drop. And loaded the software successfully, and I'm able to input information that I want in the radio, and the radio's able to read what I put in. But I'm having a lot of problem with the software. Is there a website or something, CS750 for dummies, or some other kind of vehicle that I can read up on? Back to net.
Okay, Warren. Okay, just to make sure I confirm that I heard you correctly, you want to be able to program a Kinect Systems, a CS750 handy talkie, and you need help with the programming software. Is that correct? Say again, Warren?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we have on the net the expert that would be able to help you do that. Kai, if you're still here, would you care to comment? Over to KB2TRW.
This is KB2TRW, Kai. Sorry I stepped away. I did not get the question. Could the question be asked once again? I'll be right here. KB2TRW, back to net.
This guy, Warren, would like to get some assistance using the programming software to program his CS750, and he's having some challenges understanding how to program it correctly. Back to Kai.
Okay, what I can provide at this time is I can provide a sample computer, and he has registered. I can have a little plug with that as an example that might help him out. That'd be helpful.
Warren, what do you think? If Kai provided you with an example that you can just put in, would that help get you started?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. I live on, I live in Nassau County. So my club is, I'm a member of Limark, and I'm a member of Great South Bay, but not too many people in Great South Bay have them, and only one or two guys in Limark. So yes, Guy, that would help me. Back to net.
Okay, there we go. Well, that'll work. I guess, Warren, you want to suggest the best way that Kai can get you the information you need?
Oh, sure. It's ac2ky@yahoo.com.
Very good. Kai, did you copy?
Yeah, to Warren, I would prefer it if you email to my email address. That would be my call sign, Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey, @awrl.net. This way, I make sure it gets to me, and I can send you that code. I believe I do have a code plug for the Limark folks. That might be helpful to you. If you've been a member for a couple of years, I might be able to look that up. If not, if you just get something from the officer saying that you're a member of the club, so I can send that over to you.
Okay, Warren, did you copy Kai's address, and are we good to go?
Email address, and I thank you very much. Thank you very much, Kai. Back to that.
Excellent, good. Okay, well, that's a big help, and thanks for your question again, Warren, and thank you, Kai, for the support for TMR radio programming. I know this is really... I got a feeling this is really going to take off in the next year or so as people get more and more familiar with these things. I was doing a little experiment with Jim WA2UMP a little earlier this evening, and we're going to continue to get more active ourselves on DMR. So great stuff. Digital voice, wave of the future. Before we move on to our next question, I wanted to respond to Rich, AC2GI. to answer the question. It's been a, and I apologize, it's been a long time since I've looked at this and never had desire to set up a static address on the WAN site, on the home network. But I'm looking at the basic setup screen, and all the way on the right, under the WAN column, is where you make the change. And under WAN, for Wide Area Network, the first box is protocol, and it defaults to DHCP, which means that the unit will get an address from your home router that's serving up the addresses. But it's a drop-down box, and if you look at it, you see an opportunity to select the word static, which is what you wanted to do. And if you give the unit a static address on the WAN interface, you can go put in your own network address, and it will remain whatever it is you set it to. So I think that will answer your primary question. Does that help, Rich? Over to you.
Comment.
Go ahead, commenter.
W2APP to K2BAR. Just a couple of things on that. Yeah, you can do that with the DCHP. The other thing just to remember is that the DCHP protocol, I think if the router sees the address every 90 days, we'll keep firing out the same IP address. Also on the Linux side, if you do hack down Linux, you can set static down that side. That's the sort of sidebar. I do have a quick comment on the mesh networking and the stuff on the DMR, but I'll leave that off to the side. With that, I'll send it back.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Yeah, they're both good comments. We can get back to you just a little bit later if you want to elaborate on that. But wanted to hear from Rich, AC2GI, if the description of the WAN setup section on the mesh node is what he's looking for.
K2BAR, AC2GI, yes, thank you very much. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And I can experiment with that this week. Kind of anal retentive when it comes to my home network. Anything that's fixed in position is hardwired. And anything that never leaves the house has a fixed IP address. And the DHCP, available DHCP address is limited number of wireless devices that I own. So anybody else can try to grab an address from me. Like I said, I'm just anal retentive when it comes to that. I wanted to experiment. K2BAR, AC2GI. Thank you very much. 7-3.
You're quite welcome, Rich. Good and glad to help. And again, I'm certainly one of your prime local contacts for mesh networking. So if I don't know the answer, I know the people who do know the answer usually. And of course, you have a lot of other resources here on networking in general, like Paul W2APP and Bruce WA2QBC, who are both experts at networking in general. So there's a lot of resources on the net to help you answer your questions. It's just a matter of getting on and asking them. Speaking of asking questions, why don't we go to, let's see, the next and possibly the last on the list for questions. Howie, K2EIR, I believe you had a question.
K2EIR. And I know you almost said E-I-E-I-O. I tried to get that call, but I thought better of it. Now I'm looking for something exact here, not guesses. I seem to recall reading in some ARRL venue, either QFT or, you know, the website, that about the FCC, requirement, if you will, that condos have to allow over-the-air antennas and satellite dishes. They have to make some reasonable accommodation for that. But I think here's the very specific thing. What I remember reading was something about broadband. That word was particularly mentioned, which I hadn't noticed before. So I want to know if anyone knows if that's the case. Where
possibly, and what in particular they mean by broadband. I'm just wondering, for example, if a mesh antenna could be covered under that. Back to Net Control, K2EIR.
Well, thank you, Howie. A very interesting question. And since I'm not a certified expert, all I have is guesses, which is not what you're looking for. So there may be a couple of people here on the net that do have an answer. Anybody on the net with an answer to Howie's question about what is a broadband or what is a broadband antenna?
WJFP.
Saved by Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I would defer to other people. I'm assuming that Gordon will have something to stick into this. The FCC regulations, how that happens with the HOA association, basically says that if you want to put a satellite dish on your private space, i.e. your deck, your window, whatever, you're allowed to do it. I don't think it gets down into the specifics of what constitutes the satellite transmission or the TV transmission. But what I would assume would be that if the frequency range that the stuff is coming in on, if your satellite dish would be effectively microwave transmission, if you can show that your antenna is able to accept microwave transmissions, I think, you know, in some ways you've got a case. Basically, it comes down to they cannot complain about a satellite dish because the FCC protects it. How you extrapolate that out to cover broadband, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's open to interpretation. My one thought on that is if they can't complain about a satellite dish, then why not put up a plastic satellite dish with something like a unidirectional pole sitting behind it with a 2.4 gigahertz antenna? With that, I'll send it back.
Okay, interesting thought, Paul. Yeah, gave me some ideas too that I probably shouldn't mention at the moment. Howie, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to have to do some further research on the net. I just was lazy. It sort of occurred to me today, so I haven't gotten around to it. Actually here in my condo, and I haven't spoken to them yet, and I'm on the board, by the way, just recently, but I haven't found out what the limitations, requirements of the condo are. We do have satellite dishes on the roof. I think they accommodated it that way. I haven't seen any on a deck, so I suspect that the condo said, okay, you can put it on the roof, we'll tell you where and we'll accommodate you. As far as I know, they're only doing what the FCC requires. I don't think they're amateur radio. But one of the other things I've thought about at satellite dish, I sort of infer this from something Gordon said, is, you know, what if you put a loop antenna around the circumference of the satellite dish, you know, an HF loop for receiving or possibly transmitting. I brainstorm a lot because I want to get some side problems. Although I think I'm going to have to wait to see if this thing passes Congress. I'd be much happier if it does. Thank you, gentlemen. K2EIR.
Hey, thank you, Howie. Yeah, and sort of, I guess, keep the rest of us on the net informed about, what happens, what develops in your specific situation, because that'll certainly be interesting. And I'm with you. It'd be interesting to see, and I'm certainly hoping that with the effort of all of us and leadership of our division director, Mike Lysenko, and a variety of other people that are engaged, that maybe we can get that HR 1301, the pass to allow more opportunities for putting up reasonably accommodating amateur radio antennas, and that would certainly be helpful. We've reached the end of our formal